jail specifically for the reason of trying to silence their speech and to chill others. And the hope is that a ruling like yesterday's will break the spell, because the goal of this administration in all of these cases in which it is cracking down on political speech is to silence dissent. They're not trying to win in court because they can't, because the legal theories they're advancing are preposterous. And in another era, would have been shameful for DOJ lawyers to present in federal court. But we need to break the spell. We need more people like Judge Young, like Mahmoud Khalil, to call it for what it is, which is a concerted effort by the federal government to crack down on political speech. So if this decision contributes in small part to breaking the spell, then I think it will have been a success.
Alex Abdo, I want to thank you so much for being with us, litigation director of the Knight First Amendment Institute at Columbia University. Todd Wolfson, speaking to us from Philadelphia, president of the American Association of University Professors. And Mahmoud Khalil, Columbia University graduate, an activist who spent over 100 days in an ICE jail. He was sent to Jena, Louisiana. During that time, his wife, Dr. Noor Abdullah, gave birth to their first son, Dean. He was released on June 20th. This coming weekend, I'll be speaking at the Roxy Theater in San Francisco on Saturday and in Berkeley. I'm Amy Goodman with Juan Gonzalez.
This is Judy Berry from Earth First, and when I'm in Portland, I listen to non-commercial community radio, KBOO Portland. No compromise in defense of the truth.
Support for KBOO comes from its members and from 988 Oregon, a public service providing help from trained counselors for when stress, worry, and sadness strike. Help is available by calling or texting 988. More info at 988oregon.org.
And now, your daily volunteer-produced community newscast, the KBOO Evening News.
Coming up on the KBOO Evening News, Oregon Attorney General Dan Rayfield files for a temporary injunction to stop the White House from deploying troops to Portland.
President Donald Trump says he wants to crush the radical left in Portland.
And in national news, the governor of Louisiana wants the National Guard deployed to major cities in his state.
Good evening, this is... Good evening, this is the KBOO Evening News for Wednesday, October 1st, 2025. I'm Terrence Burns.
And I'm Cheryl Denise. Oregon Attorney General Dan Rayfield filed for a temporary injunction to stop Oregon National Guard troops from being federalized mere hours after Trump announced his plan. That injunction goes before U.S. District Judge Michael Simon on Friday. Rayfield explained why the filing was so important.
And when you file a temporary restraining order, effectively that is a motion that you do real early on in the case, and it's before you really get to the merits of the case. And it's incredibly high burden to actually get a judge to approve a temporary restraining order. And effectively what that would do early on in a case is pause the status quo. So for instance, in this case, it wouldn't allow President Trump to federalize the National Guard. It would pause everything so that way the court could consider the full merits of the case. But it allows you to get in front of a judge, talk about facts, and actually get a ruling very quickly to prevent harm in the community.
Under Title X, a president can federalize a state's National Guard if there's an invasion, a rebellion, or if the president can't normally execute the laws of the United States. Trump's efforts to federalize National Guard troops in other places around the U.S. were also challenged in court. Rayfield says the facts are even more clear in Oregon's case.
Oregon, which is incredibly clear, as our facts are probably the clearest case of where the president should not have the ability to federalize the National Guard. Again, using those three different categories, whether there's a rebellion, an invasion, or whether the president can't execute the laws of the United States, it's really clear Oregon that none of those conditions exist. And it's even more clear than it was in any of the other places.
The hearing for the temporary injunction is on Friday at 10 a.m., and Rayfield says a ruling would be expected within 48 hours. Hear the extended version of our interview with Oregon Attorney General Dan Rayfield later in the show on KBOO News In-Depth at 5:45.
The timeline for the Oregon National Guard troops' arrival in Portland is vague, despite the best efforts from local elected officials and media to get more details. In a press conference Wednesday, Oregon Senator Jeff Merkley said that he deployed the National Guard troops would receive 3 to 5 days of training at Fort Relia on the Oregon coast near Warrenton.
Here is our understanding of the status of the troop deployments. 200 members of the Oregon National Guard have been federalized. They're going to go to Camp Relia, Armed Forces Training Center in Warrenton, for 3 to 5 days for training. Training in crowd control, training in the rules for the use of force before being deployed. We have conflicting reports about the length of the deployment. The last one I heard was it was going 15 days to gear up and gear down and 45 days to be on mission. But other reports have it being a longer period. And then leadership from U.S. Northern Command taking charge. That's the command that's headquartered out of Colorado Springs. I had understood that there might be a roughly 20 individuals coming from U.S. North Comm to constitute that command structure, but again, the details are vague. But let's be clear. These federal agents, even if they are federalized Oregon National Guard, they're uninvited, they're unnecessary, and they are unacceptable under our law. So our message to President Trump is simple. Stay out of Portland. And President Trump, you need to end your efforts to have an authoritarian takeover.
Merkley went on to say he toured the Portland ICE facility and spoke directly to the regional administrator and explained that peaceful protests are not rebellions or invasions.
Free speech, free assembly, peaceful protests. Those are not rebellions or invasions. In fact, they're honored rights of every citizen. You know, last week I toured the ICE facility that Trump says is under siege. I talked to the regional administrator who proceeds to control Alaska and Washington and Oregon. And I relayed to her an article from the Oregonian. And the article said our staff, in other words, the Oregonian staff, had witnessed the forces outside the ICE building attacking peaceful protesters. And I said to her, doesn't this upset you? And she said, well, they're not our people. They're not ICE. I said, but they're defending your building. Shouldn't you go and meet with them, the Federal Protective Service, and say that's absolutely unacceptable? It is unacceptable in America for militarized forces to attack peaceful protesters. I encouraged her because she demurred and didn't really respond to whether she would take on this response. I encouraged her, said, if you're not willing to answer now, go away from this, but do it. Even if you're not going to tell us, you're going to do it. Do it because this is wrong and it's provoking interactions designed to accelerate, conflict. And of course, sending more federal agents into Portland is exactly what Trump's trying to do, is accelerate conflict.
Lieutenant Colonel Stephen Bomar is the Director of Public Affairs for the Oregon Military Department. He told OPB he believes the earliest the city could see troops on the ground is Thursday, but Bomar went on to say that timeline is unlikely. Bomar echoed Merkley by saying that as of Monday, roughly 166 members of the Oregon National Guard had volunteered for deployment. Most of those federalized National Guard troops are volunteers from the central Willamette Valley cities of Woodburn and Salem. Local military officials believe it is likely the Guard will arrive in the metro area sometime next week.
State and local officials suspect President Donald Trump has likely been watching old videos of the racial justice protests from the summer of 2020. On Tuesday, the White House published a press release bragging about Trump's decision to deploy federal resources to, quote, crush violent radical left terrorism in Portland, end quote. Trump spoke to an auditorium full of hundreds of U.S. military brass assembled from across the world in Quantico, Virginia, Tuesday. He says he wants to use American cities as training grounds for the military. Trump describes civil disturbances as, quote, the enemy from within, end quote. Trump's lies about conditions in downtown Portland have intensified recently, saying the city's downtown looked like World War II. The ICE protests are not in the downtown core. Portland's ICE facility is located in an area of South Portland known as South Waterfront, tucked between apartment towers, a commercial district, and South Macadam Avenue. A White House memo sent to Oregon Governor Tina Kotek on Sunday says guard members are tasked with protecting U.S. immigration and customs enforcement and other U.S. enforcement and other U.S. government personnel performing federal functions. Portland Police Chief Bob Day said Monday at a local press conference that his officers have a handle on the protests at the ICE building and don't need federal intervention. Historically, Trump has blamed paid professional protesters for unrest in Portland as early as his first election victory in 2016. In a dramatic change of tone back in 2016, it's noteworthy that Trump once commended the protesters in Portland, saying on Twitter or X, quote, love the fact that the small groups of protesters last night have passion for our great country. We will all come together and be proud, end quote.
Tyler Fellini, the executive director of Jobs with Justice, was sprayed with chemical agents at the McAdam ICE facility last Sunday. They spoke with KABU about the need for labor activists to join demonstrations. Content warning, this story contains reference to injury.
Federal officers sprayed a labor organizer with chemical agents during the McAdam ICE facility demonstrations last Sunday. Officers have been using noxious aerosols to move demonstrators over the last several months. Tyler Fellini, the executive director of Jobs with Justice, went to the ER after being sprayed.
I could not open my eyes for what felt like an eternity, and I think was probably about 20 minutes. Somebody who was a street medic had to use numbing eye drops for me to finally be able to open my eyes. And I would say that everywhere on my skin that the spray covered, it felt like the worst sunburn you've ever had mixed with the worst steam burn that you've ever had. My skin radiated on fire for hours afterward. I could not open my eyes for what felt like an eternity, and I think was probably about 20 minutes. Somebody who was a street medic had to use numbing eye drops for me to finally be able to open my eyes. And I would say that everywhere on my skin that the spray covered, it felt like the worst sunburn you've ever had mixed with the worst steam burn that you've ever had. My skin radiated on fire for hours afterward.
Fellini said their skin hurt even after showering the next day.
You know, it really sucked in the moment, but I would say that that bit of pain is nothing really compared to kind of the anguish that a lot of our immigrant neighbors are experiencing at the hands of ICE. So, you know, I wouldn't wish that upon anybody, but there's certainly far worse fates that are happening to community members right now.
Jobs with Justice is a coalition of unions, community, faith, and student groups that seeks to protect workers' rights. Fellini called on other labor organizers to join demonstrations.
Yeah, I think we need to be very clear about what's happening in this moment, and that's the rise of authoritarianism in the United States. Portland has a long history of protest, and so many individual activists are very comfortable with taking to the street. And we know our recent labor history that workers are very comfortable striking and taking to the street. And so we really need those forces to come together, right? We need unions to turn out their members, their hundreds and thousands of folks into the street, to join with individual activists who are also in the street.
Prior to being sprayed, Fellini said the demonstrations were relaxed.
There weren't visible federal agents. There were some speeches happening.
At one point, Portland Police Bureau arrived at the scene but retreated.
shortly after they left, federal agents came out. They were outfitted in riot gear as well as military fatigues.
The officers moved two vehicles into the driveway of the building and retreated behind the gate. 5 to 10 minutes after that, the federal officers assembled again. But when they opened the gate the second time, Fellini says they were more aggressive.
And they shoved a Portland Association of Teachers member, and they knocked him backwards onto the ground. I saw him fall. I ran up to grab him to help pick him up. And, you know, we were just in regular street clothes. We're unarmed. He was understandably agitated. He was yelling at the federal agent who shoved him down for no reason. And then out of nowhere, that federal agent pulled out a can of some chemical agent. I don't know exactly what they used. It felt like Bear Mason. Just sprayed the both of us pretty indiscriminately.
Fellini says they don't wish that experience on anyone, but believes the consequences of inaction are too high.
Now is the time to be bold. Meet your neighbors if you haven't. Be prepared to look out for one another, make sure that, you know, when and if the National Guard shows up, they understand that, first of all, that Portland is not the hellscape that Donald Trump wants to paint it to be, but also that Portlanders will not allow themselves to be bullied by force. And that takes all of us showing up to get that message out.
For KBOO, this is Anna Wilcox.
Public employees in Washington State are often not fully protected by insurance if they are injured while driving on the job. And new legislation coming up next session aims to change it. Isabel Charlet has more on the story.
Public employees in Washington State, such as police officers and firefighters, are often not fully protected by insurance if they are injured while driving on the job, and new legislation coming up next session aims to change that. Currently, if a police officer or EMT is injured in a crash caused by an uninsured driver, they must rely solely on workers' compensation for recovery costs, unlike private sector employees. Trial lawyer Christina McKinnon noticed the pattern and reached out to lawmakers last year. The result was a bill requiring cities and counties to provide uninsured motorist coverage for public employees.
The problem is that these officers are in harm's way. And when something like this happens, it's like it adds insult to injury because they are not aware that they're driving around out there without this coverage.
The first version of the bill, drafted by State Senator Matt Bankey, did not make it out of committee this year. McKinnon is hopeful that once lawmakers are able to understand the need, there will be bipartisan support for the bill next session. McKinnon explains that by law, individuals have to be offered uninsured motorist coverage by insurance companies or their employers and must knowingly waive it. But she says cities and counties are exempt from this law. She adds that workers' comp is often not enough to cover the full cost of injuries. She says workers can only earn 65% of their wage while they recover, and medical and disability benefits are limited.
The workers' comp does not give them a pain and suffering recovery. It doesn't give them a disability recovery that's commensurate with a private lawsuit like the rest of us have through UIM coverage.
McKinnon says police officers are much more likely to be involved in car accidents since part of their job is to respond to reckless drivers.
The goal really is to make sure that the law enforcement officers have at least as good of coverage as the rest of us, which you think would be sort of a no-brainer.
For Public News Service, I'm Isabel Charlet.
Defense Secretary Pete Hegseth calls for a tougher military stance as Washington faces a standoff shutdown. Advocates defend New York's youth justice reforms, and survivor groups warn immigration crackdowns endanger victims of domestic violence. With that story and more, Farah Siddiqui with the 2025 Talks.
Welcome to 2025 Talks, where we're following our democracy in historic times.
Should our enemies choose foolishly to challenge us, they will be crushed by the violence, precision, and ferocity of the War Department.
Defense Secretary Pete Hegseth told an extremely unusual gathering of high-level military officials that the Pentagon is emphasizing a warrior culture and ending diversity measures. Hegseth said tough physical fitness standards would apply to everyone in the military, including top officers. Critics charged the speech hardly justified bringing hundreds of generals and admirals to Virginia, and one observer said he brought commanders in from around the world to tell them they are too fat. Congress remains deadlocked as the clock ticks toward a government shutdown. President Donald Trump says Democrats will face what he calls irreversible consequences if they allow funding to expire. while Democrats insist they're defending health coverage for millions. University of South Dakota political scientist Julia Hale Vega says people should resist the urge to tune out from the government, given the shutdown drama and intense polarization.
We might differ on the kinds of values that we have and what policy outcomes that we want to see, but we want the government to work.
She warns that walking away from voting in town halls and ignoring the news leaves decision-making to special interests. The White House announced a deal with Pfizer to slash drug prices through a promised TrumpRx website set to launch in 2026. Administration officials say it will cut the cost of common medicines by half, though industry analysts question whether savings will reach patients or simply shift costs overseas. Some New York officials blame a 2017 juvenile justice reform for rising felony arrests. The Raise the Age law shifted teens out of the adult criminal system and toward rehabilitation. But Julia Davis at the Children's Defense Fund of New York says the strategy of investing in community-based services is working.
Moving away from adult prosecution, moving towards rehabilitation services programs, so we don't have kids going through the revolving door of the criminal legal system.
A John Jay College report finds New York City youth crime remains lower than when Raise the Age first passed. Advocates for domestic violence survivors say immigration crackdowns are putting migrant victims at risk by deterring them from seeking police or court protection. Carmen McDonald with the Survivor Justice Center in Los Angeles says it's eroding years of bipartisan consensus that domestic violence protections are too important to become tangled in political fights.
This is not just a humanitarian crisis, it's a public safety crisis. When survivors are silenced, abusers go free. When immigrants are too afraid to call the police, everyone is less safe.
Legal experts also point out that narrowing protections under the Violence Against Women's Act has left more immigrant survivors vulnerable to deportation if their applications are denied. I'm Farah Siddiqui for Pacifica Network and Public News Service.
You're listening to the KBOO Evening News. Stay tuned after this newscast for an in-depth interview with Kanani Cortez from Street Roots about her recent article on the self-governed micro-homeless shelter Right to Dream 2. At 6, it's Flashpoints. Then at 7, listen in for Hard Knock Radio. Tonight's weather. Expect the rain to continue overnight with a low temperature of 54 degrees. Tomorrow's weather, cloudy. Conditions with afternoon showers and a high of 66. Today in history, October 1st, 1920, the magazine Scientific American reports that the rapidly developing medium of radio will soon be used to transmit music to the home. The quote of the day is from English author, humorist, and screenwriter Douglas Adams, who said, "I love deadlines. I love the whooshing noise they make as they fly by."
Canadian Prime Minister Mark Carney reflected on the tragic legacy of the residential school system in Canada on Tuesday, the National Day for Truth and Reconciliation. With that story and more, it's Antonia Gonzalez with National Native News.
This is National Native News. I'm Antonia Gonzalez. Across Canada, people mark the fifth National Day for Truth and Reconciliation, also known as Orange Shirt Day. Prime Minister Mark Carney reflected on the tragic legacy of the residential school system and talked about how his government is moving toward reconciliation. But as Dan Karpinchuk reports, the country's governor general says more work remains.
There were rallies, ceremonies, and speeches with, in many communities, a sea of orange shirts. And there were celebrations of Indigenous music, language, art, and culture. And most importantly, there was time to reflect on the past abuses of the residential schools. In Ottawa, at one of the events, Prime Minister Mark Carney addressed the crowd.
Truth is the foundation of justice. And the truth is, for more than a century, this country ran residential schools. Over 150,000 First Nations, Inuit, and Métis children were taken from their families and their communities, torn from their languages, their cultures, and their identities. On this National Day for Truth and Reconciliation, we honor survivors and the children who never returned home. We reflect on the devastating legacy of the residential school system. And we, as a government and as a people, we match remembrance with responsibility.
It's been nearly 10 years since the recommendations from the National Truth and Reconciliation Commission. There were 94 directives after hearing from thousands of residential school survivors who told their personal stories of pain and tragedy. Carney says his government remains committed to advancing the work of that commission. Governor General Mary Simon, who is Indigenous, says some progress has taken place, but much work remains.
Inequities persist, and we share a lifelong responsibility to address them. I have seen Indigenous people striving to heal while still struggling to meet basic needs. Too often, they lack access to adequate trauma-informed mental health support that honors their traditional healing practices. So today, I call on every Canadian to renew their commitment to reconciliation.
Simon says she sees a world where young Indigenous people can embrace being Canadian without compromising their identity. For National Native News, I'm Dan Karpinchuk.
In the U.S., Orange Shirt Day events also took place, including at Haskell Indian Nations University in Lawrence, Kansas. The university was originally established as an Indian boarding school. Current Haskell senior Denise Flores Frazier gave out ribbons in remembrance of children who attended the Haskell Institute and never returned home.
We created pins with the names of each 150 children that were discovered here at Haskell Indian Nations University. We put out their tribes and a little website link so that people can find if they have a relative here or if they just wanted to know more information about some of the children here, like the ages that they passed or their time here at Haskell. We're also leaving notes so that they can write letters to them. They won't be left at the graveyard, and we're not reading them. We're just collecting them in case people have anything they want to say to the children.
The sorority chapter of Gamma Delta Pi hosted the event. Other events on campus included a remembrance walk and an open mic and panel night to provide people the opportunity to share stories. The National Congress of American Indians has a list of resources available for tribes and hosted a webinar this week ahead of the federal government shutdown to discuss tribal funding, Indian affairs, and critical services. Webinar speakers discussed contingency plans, saying most tribal programs will be impacted, which could include funding disruptions. The government shut down midnight on Wednesday. I'm Antonia Gonzalez.
Not waiting for President Trump to send troops, Louisiana Governor Jeff Landry requested federal assistance to activate up to 1,000 National Guard troops in the state's urban centers. Landry wrote that the deployment would support state and federally law enforcement agencies in addressing ongoing public safety concerns regarding high crime rates. New Orleans, Shreveport, and Baton Rouge, which Landry is focused on, are cities with predominantly black populations whose crime rates have gone down over the last several years. Haina Shamshi, director of the American Civil Liberties Union's National Security Project, said, quote, "We cannot allow military policing of our communities to become normalized. When military troops police civilians, we have an intolerable threat to individual liberty and the foundational values of this country," end quote.
As of midnight, a large part of the federal government is shut down. As the temporary budget expired at midnight, the Republican and Democrat parties remain far apart on a new continuing resolution. Republicans want to keep things as they are. Democrats want to spend around $1 trillion more to extend Obamacare subsidies and the reverse Trump's cuts to Medicaid. Essential services such as the military and air traffic controllers are still operating. The mail will still be delivered, Social Security checks sent. Most other services and facilities, including national parks, are shut down. The administration is saying that permanent layoffs of federal employees could be coming soon. Since the beginning of the year, around 300,000 workers have left federal service jobs, most either fired or pressured to resign by the Trump administration. The last government shutdown during Trump's first term lasted 35 days longer, the longest.
KBOO News poet Dan Raphael feels that a shutdown is an important time to speak up.
Over 800 generals and admirals from around the world were brought to D.C. just so Petey and Donnie could flex their stuff the day before the government shut down for lack of cash. Donnie told them our cities will be military training grounds to control protests, to stop people from voting. Whether troops come to Portland, Memphis, or Shangri-La hardly matters. As Senator Wyden said of Trump, a lot of his policies come by whim, so we need to push back until he gets another whim. It's a crazy world to be in. This bozo got to be in charge through a cash-driven slow-motion coup. Took 50 years, and it might take another 50 for the U.S. to act like a democracy again. Any budget resolution will be temporary, and will go through another shakedown before Christmas, while millions lose health care and benefits, tens of thousands lose paychecks. Help your neighbors. Support local businesses and officials. Trump can be Trump. We don't need to go back. We need to evolve. For Poetic Justice, this is Dan Raphael.
You're listening to the KBOO Evening News for Wednesday, October 1st, 2025. This is a volunteer-produced newscast, and we encourage your participation. Call or text us with your breaking news stories and tips at 971-801-1378. Our production team for tonight's newscast is Anna Wilcox, Dave Johnson, Althea Billings, and Dan Raphael. The producer is Dave Johnson, and our engineer is Ray Bodewell. Special thanks to Antonio Gonzalez, Isabel Charlet, and Farah Siddiqui. The director of the evening news is Althea Billings. A podcast of this newscast is available on our website at kboo.fm/eveningnews. You are listening to KBOO Portland on 90.7 FM, K282BH Philomath on 104.3 FM, and K220HR Hood River on 91.9 FM. I'm Terrence Burns.
And I'm Cheryl Denise. All of our KBOO programs, including the evening news, are supported by our members. If you would like to become a member and support our programming, you can go to kboo.fm/give or text KBOO to 44321. Stay tuned now for KBOO News in depth.
KBOO News in